James chapter number 1. Start a reading in verse 19 if you'd like to read, stand in reverence to the scripture. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you will direct our heart and thoughts in the service. Help us to be sensitive, Lord, to the Holy Ghost, and say nothing more, nothing less than that, God, which would be honorable, pleasing, Lord, in your sight. Have your way tonight. Please help us as a church family, Lord, a church body. Help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, that the spiritual is relational. Lord, there's no way that we can be where we need to be as a church if there is resentment, if there's bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, or anything of such like toward one another. Lord, every church, any church that I've ever seen that have been effective, Lord, have just nearly a river of love running through it. That is, Lord, shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. Lord, have your way tonight. Help me, our Father, to be sensitive to you and say what you want said. Lord, we are in desperate need of you. We know the need is desperate. Lord, we know sinners are desperate. We know the times are desperate. But I think what our problem is, Lord, is that the times are desperate, but we are not. And Lord, I pray that you will help us. And Lord, forgive us for being comfortable, and forgive us, Lord, of looking for that place of least resistance. Please help us, our Father, to be getting ready, and not just getting ready for a youth camp, getting ready for the battles that come with that, and being able to reach and being able, Lord, to have an influence on other kids. Lord, it's not just that. But more importantly, it's us getting ready to serve you. Lord, that's it. Lord, it's not just a youth camp and activities and services and that's going to last 4 nights and then we go home. But Lord, we're talking about serving you, because when the youth camp has come and gone, we still need to be on that level of service, and we need to be devoted and committed, and we need to be separated. We need to be sanctified. We need, dear Lord, to be committed, Father, to pleasing you the rest of our days. Please, Lord, help me. I want to finish well. Lord, I don't want to quit. I don't want to throw in the towel. That is not even in my mind, in my plans, thoughts, or intentions. But I also know, Lord, that there have been many down the road before me that has fell by the wayside that probably never thought they would. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to know we cannot have any confidence in the flesh. Lord, we cannot trust our own flesh to support us in the time of a storm and a struggle. Lord, our flesh would actually promote our failure and fall. And Lord, I pray you help us spiritually tonight. Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. And I trust you'll keep your Bibles open as we look in this passage. Verse 22, the Lord woke me up the other morning with this on my mind and heart. And I've been meditating on it and looking at it. In verse 22, he said, "But be ye doers of the word." Doers of the word. Every problem can be traced to where somebody didn't do the word or didn't do what the word said. Every marriage that blows apart, somebody didn't do the word. Somebody wasn't a doer of the word. Amen. And every church that has lost ground and lost its effectiveness and lost its power and lost its spiritual energy can be traced to somebody not doing the word. God said, "Be ye doers." That's not a suggestion. That's not a recommendation. When he said, "Be ye," that's force. That's a command. That's an order. God has given out authority behind that statement. But be ye doers of the word. And so anyway, I've been thinking about that term, doers. God wants us to be doers. I made the statement this morning, you may not have caught it. I think that our problem is that we have a Bible, but the Bible does not have us. The devil don't care if the Bible is in your lap. The devil doesn't care if the Bible is in your hand. He doesn't care if your house is full of Bibles. He doesn't care if you carry Bibles in your vehicle. He doesn't care if everywhere you look in your life there's a Bible. Around you, as long as the Bible does not get in you. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. The word is just, and there's several examples of the word or analogies that is used to talk about the word. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's a hammer, it's a fire, several things. But it's also a seed, and in our text here, if the Lord help us get to it, it's a mirror. The word of God is a mirror that we are to look into. And buddy, it'll tell the truth. Amen. I know the world falsifies the idea that you can look into a mirror and say, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" And you're hoping the mirror would say, "Of course you are, my dear." But the Word of God is a mirror, buddy, that holds no respect of persons. The Word of God is a mirror that never will lie, will never show you something that is not there. Amen. The mirror of the Word of God never will cover up a flaw or a failure or a fault. And so I want us to look at this passage in light of where God said, "I want you to be," and that word got big to me as I thought about it. God didn't just say, "I want you to do the word." He said, "I want you to be a doer. I don't want you to just do. I want you to do because you what you are." When he says what you are to be, that's what you are. Amen. "Well, I've got to do what the Bible said." No, doing what the Bible said should come out of what we are. And if that's not what we are, then we need to take ourselves and move ourselves to where that's what we are. Be ye doers of the word. The word "be" there means to cause to be. To cause to be. And when you cause something to be, also it means to become. Be means to become or to arise to that point. Well, if I am to become that, I am to arise to that, I am to cause to be that, then that tells me that I wasn't beforehand. that I am to take what I am and move myself and cause myself to be what God said, to be a doer of the word. Being, I wrote this down, being prepares you for doing. Being prepares you for doing. Being precedes doing. We're seeing a plague of a lack of doing what the Bible said, and that needs to be preached. But Brother Craig, what the problem is the little B-E word, not the D-O word. Amen. I wrote it down like this. Doers is what we are to be. Be ye doers, or you can look at it the way I said it, doers is what we are to be. Doers of the word. Doers of the word. Amen? What we are is inseparable to what we do. Amen? Amen, that's right. A do failure comes from a be failure. Be speaks of the quality of your inner spiritual life. Be a doer of the word speaks of the quality of your inner spiritual life. Be. Be is not automatic. That's where, even in the definition, be means to cause to be. Somebody, listen, you need to be in charge of your spiritual life. How much do I preach on that? In one form or another, one text or another, how much of my preaching probably could be summarized in that one statement right there. Amen, that being is not automatic. What you are to be must be something that you cause to be. You must make the choices to be. You must make the commitment to be. You must make the decision to be. You need to sever yourself from anything that's going to hinder you from being what God says that you're to be. Amen. The word doer simply means a performer. Someone who performs the word. What the word says, you do. And so we looked at, you were going to look at those things and just look in these verses under that subject of doing, being a doer of the word, being a doer of the word. A lot of people are hearers of the word. Someone asked me the other day, said, do you have any of them CEOs, Christians? I said, CEO Christian? I said, no, I don't reckon. He said, well, yeah, you probably got some of them CEO. I said, what was CEO? He said, Christmas and Easter, no, Christmas and Easter only Christians. I said, well, yeah, we've seen a few of them come through. But I've never seen anybody that had that small of a spiritual life, if they even have one at all, do anything much for God. Amen. And so anyway, a performer, somebody that does the word. But he says here we're not to be a hearer only. Of course, the truth is it's understood you'll never be a doer if you're not a hearer. But the message here of the epistle of James, this general epistle of James, the most practical book in the New Testament and probably in the Bible, deals with your practical life. I mean, it covers some practical things in your life. Brother David said that he preached when he was pastoring in Morristown. He said he preached through the book of James. I said, well, how'd it go? He said, well, I went into evangelism after that. In other words, they rejected the practical truths of the epistle of James and they put the skates on him. Amen. Of course, he's a nut anyhow. Amen. But but you'll never be a doer if you're not a hearer. How many people have really got a hunger to hear? I mean, I don't even have to deal with the do if they don't even have the hearing part. Amen. You can about count on it that every time we meet here, there's going to be the word given. Whether I'm doing it or whether some of the other preachers in the church are doing it or a Sunday school teacher's giving out the word. And the word is going to come through a song, through singing, you know, amen. And a lot of people are so unfaithful to the house of God. And you know what? If God sends a message, whether they're here or not, they're accountable. Amen. And there are people that would love to be in the house of God that can't physically be here. They're bedfast. They're, amen. They can't even get out of the house. And I understand those situations. I'm talking about there are people knowing that the word of God is going to be given. The word of God is going to be read. The word of God is going to be taught. The word of God is going to be preached. And they purposefully lay out of the house of God. God's going to, that's going to be a sad day at the judgment seat for people like that saved. Amen. God help us. Amen. I want to have my relationship to the word of God right. Amen. Because every failure, I don't believe you'll ever fall and fail until first there is a breakdown in your relationship to the word of God. Amen. If you see yourself getting slack concerning the Bible, you're seeing it moving from prominent and preeminent and priority down way down the list to where, well, I'll try to work it in before I go to sleep tonight, read a verse. When if throughout the day you may have spent an hour or two looking at a cell phone screen reading text and emails and stuff like that. Listen, it is an instrument, it is a tool. And I'll never forget what Brother Massengale said, when a tool starts being a toy, somebody's going to get hurt. Amen. You can use your cell phone as a tool. There's a lot of ways it can help you in your life. But when it becomes a toy, somebody's going to get hurt, and it's probably going to be you. Brother Massengale said it's like a chainsaw. He said you start playing with it like a toy, somebody's going to get hurt, but if you use it as a tool, you can do great things, you know, and accomplish great things with it. And I've seen spirituality go out the window when a person gets hooked on electronics. I've seen that. I've been in this thing long enough till I've watched the fire of a heart that burned for God when they get hung up on and hooked on electronics and text and cell phone and turning it into a toy. I've watched their fellowship with God and their fire with God start to go out the window. That's exactly right. It's probably the downfall of the church today is this social media electronic epidemic that we've got going on. It's amen right there. But anyway, doers of the word, must be preceded by being a hearer of the word, whether that be you reading or preaching or hearing it preached or taught. You know your Sunday school teacher is going to be teaching, and how many people don't even come for Sunday school? Don't even come for Sunday school. But anyway, God help us. God help us. I don't know how God feels about all that. I wonder if he's not insulted. You know, his word is being read, taught, preached, whatever, and there's just a lack of a diet, lack of hunger for it. But anyway, I need to get on with it. Some of you said amen, preacher, but you may not want to say amen to that. The first thing, and I'm just going to give you what the Lord gave me sitting right over there, and just God's rearranged everything, so I'm just going to say some things and be done. Number one, what's involved in not being a doer of the word? First, you can write down this term. There's a lack when there's a lack of preparation. A lack of preparation. And that's found in verse 1 through 16 and also verse 19, 20, and 21a. A lack of preparation. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about verse 1 through 16 is dealing with trials and temptations and hardships and all of those things that come in the life of the believer. Amen. You know, facing hard times, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You know why a lot of people are not doers of the word? Is because of the difficulties that's going on in their life and the burdens in their life and the testings in their life and the trials in their life. Amen. Has caused them to deviate from the word of God. Instead of drive them to the word of God, it has caused them to deviate from the word of God. Amen. Instead of to increase their dependence upon the Bible, amen, for their support, amen, they listen, many times they give in to a focus on their troubles. They focus on their troubles and trials and testings and hardships and to the point that they're not a doer of the word anymore. Amen. And they'll blame that on, they'll blame not doing on that. Well, preacher, I know that I'm slack. And preacher, I know that I'm lost ground. And preacher, I know I'm not faithful. And by the way, that's being a doer of the word is when you're faithful to the house of God. Hebrews 10:25 is in the Bible. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. So if I don't do that, then I'm not a doer of the word, right? So God spoke to my heart about in verse 1 through 16 about there's a lack of preparation that's involved in our being our failing in the area of doing. Look at verse 16. He come down through all these verses about trials and testings and temptations. And he comes to verse 16. And it looks like this verse is out of place, but oh no. Verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. What about that? He's saying that when you go through these trials, tests, and temptations, and these difficulties, he said, if you do not respond to that right, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. How many of us are doing that? Hey, I want to tell you, a carnal heart's not going to do that. Amen. You got to be a spiritual man, a spiritual woman to respond to trials that way. In verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And there's tremendous preaching all through those verses. But he comes to verse 16 and he says, do not err. In other words, there's a likelihood, there at least is a possibility that when you go through hard times, trials, and testings, that you can allow that to cause you to err. And James comes through that. God, under the Holy Spirit, led James to come through these verses. And he says, in light of all of that, he said, in light of all that, do not err. Don't err. Don't let your troubles cause you to err. Don't blame, don't use your hard time as an excuse for your erring. Well, preacher, if you was going through what I was going through, you'd understand. Well, I probably might even be worse off, but that's no excuse. You'll never convince me that God allows things to come in your life with the intention and the purpose of causing you to have a spiritual fall or failure. I don't believe that. The devil, of course, Lord help me, I don't want to get hung up on here, but any trial has a testing side. Every testing side has a tempting side. Every trial that comes in your way, I'll put it this way, every trial that comes in your way has a divine side, which is God, and it has a devil side. God is testing you to bring out the best. The devil tempts you to bring out the worst. Do not err, my brethren. Look in verse 19 and 20. The preparation goes on. He said, wherefore, in light of all of that, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Don't you think it's interesting? I just noticed this, actually. That in a chapter where he's dealing with testing, trials, and temptations, that he now comes and starts dealing with wrath and anger. Could it be, Brother Craig, I hadn't studied that. I just seen that just now. Boy, I love the Word of God. It's alive. And could it be that the anger issue and the wrath issue is our wrong response to the trials? Have we not heard this age-old saying that your trials will either make you bitter or make you better? Amen. I may not choose what comes in my life. I may not ask for what comes in my life, but how I respond to it, I am in full responsibility of that. Say amen. A lack of preparation. He said, if you're gonna be a doer of the word, now watch this now. I know this is deep. Verse 22 is be ye doers of the word. You can't get into verse 22 without coming through these other verses first. He said, before you can ever be a doer of the word, you need to make sure that you're a good listener. Whoop. He said, be swift to hear. How many people are a poor listener? Amen. Be swift. That word swift, if I can find it, I wrote the definition down here somewhere on one of these 15 pieces of paper I got scattered around. Swift means to be prompt. Quick, ready, be swift to hear. And of course, that word hear has the intention or attachment to it of heeding. You're not just hearing, giving audience, but you're also giving a heeding. That is, I'm going to apply it to my life. I'm going to be obedient. I wonder where our church would be. I wonder where I would be. I wonder where you would be, all of us as a church. I wonder where we would be if all of us would heed everything that we've heard. Say amen right there. I mean, I know I'm not the best preacher in the country, but I know this, ain't nobody enjoys doing it no more than I do. I guarantee you that. But I try my best to study and prepare and mentally and meditate upon the Word of God so that when I'm out the pulpit, whether it's here or wherever it is, I want to give somebody a challenge from the Word of God. Amen. And it grieves me, buddy. I'll just tell you, it grieves me to no end to see the preaching that God, I know, sends through us be treated lightly and don't be applied to their life. Amen. I really battle to not take that personally. And I don't know if I shouldn't take it personally. Amen. I don't expect to hear a whole lot of amens tonight, but that'll be all right. I come prepared anyway with my own. I got a whole can full of them up here. Be swift to hear. Be swift to hear. What about that? I wrote this down. Being a better listener will improve your preacher's preaching. That's good, ain't it? You want your preacher to preach better? Listen better. And it may not be that I preach better far as giving more content and more depth and more truths. It might be that a good listener just starts picking up on more and receives more. I like that statement so good, Lord, give me. I want to read it again. Being a better listener will improve your preacher's preaching. Amen. Be swift to hear. That's a part of the preparation. I can see we're not going to get done tonight. Be swift to hear, but he didn't stop there. Look at it, verse number 19. He said, be swift to hear, comma, and slow to speak. We get that backwards, I'm afraid. We're swift to speak and slow to hear. Amen, that's right. A hearing problem normally will show up in a speaking problem. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 12 speaks of that. I believe verse 42 or so, right in there close to that. Swift to hear, slow to speak. And in light of the context, remember what the context was? Trials, testings, temptations, hardships, and all of that. A lot of times it's hard to be slow to speak. It's hard to be slow to speak when you spend a whole lot of time complaining and murmuring about the trials and the testings of your life. Do you think Jesus did that? Do you think Jesus went through life spending most of his time talking about how he's being treated? You think Jesus ever had the poochy lip? I wish, maybe the ensemblets or the youth choir, somebody needs to learn that poochy lip. It will get you if you don't watch out. The poochy lip. Y'all remember that little song? That little chorus? Huh? You never heard of it? You've never heard of it? Who's heard of that? The poochy, I don't know, remember how it goes. I just remember the poochy lip part and that it will get you if you don't watch out. You say, how do you know? Because it's got me a few times. Well, actually, several times. The poochy lip. How many knows what the poochy lip is? Can I give y'all a demonstration? The little babies, Dylan, they call it pucker. Oh, just going to cry. It's puckering. And they stick that bottom lip out. Huh? I know adults like that. Does anybody know how that goes? I'd sing a little bit of it. I don't remember how it goes. You know how it goes? How does it go? Can you give us this little pinch of it? Poochie. I don't know. Go ahead. That definitely wasn't it, was it? Hey, I better stick to preaching. That's what she's saying. But anyway, I need to get off of that. But we need to learn that. Little kids need to learn that. Poochy lip. But anyway. Swift to hear, slow to speak. Slow to speak. Big talkers make poor listeners. Hey, that person that's always got something to say most of the time really don't have nothing to say. Big talkers. Those people are real loud verbally. They're not loud, always being the mouth of the session. You can about count on it. Their spiritual life is on a low level. God said when your spiritual life's where it needs to be, there'll be a swiftness to hear and a slowness to speak. Oh, we're having a good time already and we're just getting started. Somebody said a dog is a lot smarter than most people because it wags its tail, not its tongue. Say amen right there. Help me, Lord. I need the life. You can believe that. God, help us. Slow to speak. Oh, mercy. Here's another good saying. I'm going to go on. He who has a sharp tongue soon will cut his own throat. But he moved on and said, slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. And he gives the reason for that, the next verse. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Amen. Anger is just one letter short of danger. Just put a D on the front of it and you've switched anger to danger. How many people are in danger spiritually because they have an anger problem? They have a wrath problem. Short fused. Don't take much to light their fire. It don't take much for them to be short with you and snappy and all of that. Amen. Something's going on underneath the collarbone when that's like that. Slow to wrath. I'm talking about preparation. I've got to move on. Look at the second one. I've got to give you number two. Verse 21, because there's a lack of preparation is involved in not being a doer of the word, but also a lack of acceptation, verse 21. Wherefore, well, actually, I should have dealt with this. This is part of the preparation. Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's also associated with your preparation. Things that you need to do. Yes, you do definitely need to be slow to speak, slow to wrath, and all of that, swift to hear. And you definitely need to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. So that's part of the preparation. Next comes the acceptation. where it says, and after you've got all of that taken care of, the preparation's taken care of, you've got everything intact that needs to be intact, and then you've laid apart things that needs to be gone out of your life. He said, and now, he said, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. I'm talking about now, it's called, there's a lack of doing because there's a lack of acceptation. Receiving, a lack of receiving of the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Amen. That word and there, that word and also would identify, actually, listen, I looked that up. The word and is translated now 166 times. In other words, okay, now that you've got that taken care of and you've done your preparation, now it's time to move on to a next level, and that's where you accept, receive inwardly the engrafted word. Shows continuation. Look at it. Not only do we see lack of preparations involved, lack of acceptation, but also verse 22, there's a lack of activation. But be ye doers. In other words, put in action what you've heard, what you've read, what you know. Put in action. A lack of activation is behind us not being a doer of the word. Verse 22, a lack of activation. Amen. We're to give action to the word. In fact, the word do, this is deep, the word do is in the word doer. Be ye a doer of the word. Amen. Do is your action. Doer is identification. Amen. Your action's what gives you identity. Do as in the word, or in the word doer. Well, I don't know where that went, but that's there anyway for you to get it. Look at verse, the verse starts out, but, how many knows what that identifies? That shows a contradiction, not a contradiction, but a contrast to all that's been said beforehand in the verses preceding that. Now that you've taken care of all of that and dealt with all of that, but be instead of doing, instead of being slow to hear, amen, and swift to speak and swift to wrath, and not laying apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness and all that, but allowing it to stay in your life. But the word but shows contrast. But be ye doers of the word. But be ye doers. The word but there is identified in the present tense. But be ye. Present tense. How many knows what present tense is? Right now. In other words, James, the Holy Spirit saying through James, do it now. Be ye doer of the word, not tomorrow, next week, next month, but do it now. It's in the present tense. It's in the imperative mood, which is a command that is given. But it's also, here, listen, it's in the active voice, which means the subject is the doer of the action. Who, be ye doers of the word. Who is that saying is supposed to be doing that? Thank you, Brother Ivan. Brother Ivan, got you passed, brother. You passed the test. He said, you're not to just do it now. You're to do it because I command it. But you are to do it. It's not what somebody else does for you. It is not what God does for you. Being a doer of the word is what you decide and what you choose. I know you've heard this at least 150 times, that your spirituality is your responsibility. That's right. So there's a lack of activation. Put into action the word of God in your life. And then, let's move on. We're moving on. Not too fast, but we're moving on. That was three. Number four, when there's a lack of observation. Verse 23, through verse number 25, and this is where the mirror illustration comes in. For if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, and that describes most people in church, hearing the word, but then once we've heard the word, we sift through as to what we're going to apply and what we're going to reject. Who gives us that authority? Who gives you, me, that authority to say, well, I'll apply this, but I'm not applying that. I'll take this verse, but I am rejecting that verse. Who gives us that authority? Nobody. Nobody. Amen. A lack of activation, a lack of observation, looking into the mirror of the Word of God. I wrote these things down about a mirror. You can write them down or just you can get them later, whatever. A mirror is for seeing yourself, not your neighbor. Hello. A mirror on the wall is fixed, but we don't prefer those. We like those that it's got a handheld mirror. Because you know what we can do with that? We can angle it just a little bit, takes its focus off of ourselves, and we can start seeing somebody else in that mirror. Oh, yes, if they were here, preacher, you'd be getting them. Oh, yeah, preacher, I heard that verse, but boy, look at it. It's getting Brother Carol or it's getting Brother Ivan. No, the mirror's not supposed to be angled. A mirror, the very concept for a mirror is not to look at somebody else. That's not going to help you nor them. Because of, oh, yes, amen, thank you, Lord. The reason that I'm not supposed to do that, angle it to where I can see Miss Liddy up here on the front row, is one, I can't see myself, and two, it allows whoever I'm seeing to look in that same mirror and see me. And I promise you, you don't want to see me. Amen. That's right. Lack of observation. A mirror will show you what others are seeing. Oh, wow. When you have something on you that you don't know is there and others see it, everybody else sees it. And by the way, can I just stop right there and pause just a moment? That ought to motivate us to want to look into the mirror of the Word of God so that we can be sure that what we are presenting to other people is right. Because a mirror, Brother Frankie, is going to show flaws if there's something there that don't need to be. That's good, ain't Brother Ben? That's good Florida preaching right there, ain't it? Amen. He's already an RBT-er at heart. Amen. But think about it. That Bible is not only to be a mirror, but it makes me a mirror. As I practice the Bible, as I walk the Bible, as I live the Bible, or as we do, then as people look into your life and watches your life, and they are watching your life. Did not Paul say that you are our epistles, written and read of all men? He said, you are the Word of God, and you are the epistle. You are the writings. You are the Word of God. And he said, and you're read by all men. Somebody's watching your life. Somebody is reading your life. And the question is, if they read your life, is there enough truth and gospel written out in your life so that when other people look in your life, do they see the Bible, they'd see truth and they'd see themselves of what they need to be. Isn't that right? Well, glory to God, amen. Mirror will show you what others are seeing. A mirror can't lie. It only reveals truth, whether it's good or bad, negative or positive. Next, a mirror can't fix up the bad, but only reveals it. Boy, wouldn't that be a good if you had a mirror that could fix it? Say amen right there. Not just a mirror that would show it and reveal but would say, here, let me take care of that. Let me wipe that blemish off of your face. Let me fix this. But the mirror only shows us what's wrong, then we must observe to do. Amen. So anyway, a mirror is used of all ages. It's not just for children. All age brackets. You'll never outlive your need to look into the mirror of God's Word. It is used by all people. Amen. The closer you get to a mirror, the more details you'll see. That's why a lot of people don't want to get close to the Scripture, is it starts revealing too much. Truthfully, probably, there's some that don't really want to come to RBT because of that. Too much truth given. Too much challenging preaching. Too much convicting preaching. Amen. They'd rather go across town up the road or whatever, or stay at the house and watch the preachers on television, you know, that's non-offensive, never crosses grain with nothing, never deals with nothing. Last time I checked John chapter 8, it is the truth that sets you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So a mirror, listen, the closer you get to a mirror, the more details that is seen. Some people may look good from a distance, but if you get up close, it's like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I was in that bad of shape. Hey, man. Yeah, a mirror is used every day. A mirror has no respect to persons or favoritism. So anyway, there's a lack of observation. Verse 24, next, there's a lack of, what is next? Lack of application, verse 24. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. God said there was a lack of observation, but then when you saw what needed to be addressed and fixed, and that'd make the ministry a lot easier on the preacher, if everybody be responsible and fix what the Bible shows you is wrong. Amen. And deal with it. Lack of application, verse 24. He said he beholds himself. He looks in the mirror. But then the Bible said he goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You forgot what the preacher preached Sunday morning. You forgot what God showed you in your devotions. You forgot it. You saw the flaw. You saw something that needed to be tightened up. You saw an area that needed some attention, but you got caught up in your way, your life, your busy schedule, and you forgot about it. Lack of application, verse 24. Verse 25 next. You writing them down? Verse 25, there's a lack of continuation. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. A lack of continuation. How many people they're not a doer of the word? They was, they have been, but somehow or another, discontinuation got in the picture. And I promise you, all of us are there. But Chuck, I guarantee you, there's no doubt about it. Every person in this room, including me, God has showed you things in your Christian life that you're either supposed to do or not do. And maybe you did it for a while, but you let it slip. You let that slip in your life. A lack of continuation. When he said, be ye doers of the word, that is not occasional. That's going to be in the present tense, continuation, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, be doers of the word. Would that not help us to be effective in evangelism? Would that not help us to be effective concerning sinners? To see us living a consistent life? Instead of on, off, up, and down. go to the altar, this revival, that revival, make a few commitments, make a few changes, give up this or that, which I very seldom ever hear anybody giving up anything much anymore. Makes me wonder where they're at. It never has made me think they've arrived. I've never thought that about nobody, including myself. None of us have arrived. You know? But where's the continuation of that? We see revivals. We have revivals here. I preach revivals. And you know, things happen. Boy, people go to the altar. And people, man, they get caught up in it. And they do this. They change this. They quit this. They start that. And, man, and then next thing you know, 3 or 4 weeks later, you talk to the preacher, and it's right back to the same old rut, same old routine. Lack of continuation. He said, that person that's going to be blessed in his deed is a person that looks into the law of liberty as a mirror, and he continues therein. All right, next. Everybody ready for next? Everybody say next. Thank you. I figured you just want me to go next. Amen. Lack of continuation, verse 26, lack of communication. Oh, boy. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, how many thinks that verse is almost seemingly out of place? He's dealing with being a doer of the word, looking in the law of liberty, and continueth therein, and being blessed in your deeds, and all of this, you know, and then all of a sudden he throws this verse in there. Oh, by the way, watch how you talk. Could he be saying that you'll have a problem with God's word when you're messed up with your words? If we have a problem with God's word, it's normally will show up in our words. If you hear somebody that's gossiping and murmuring and slandering and a thousand other things that could be added. Philippians 1 talks about let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. No corrupt communication. But that it may minister grace to the hearer. What about that? I wonder how much of our conversation would be needed to be discarded just on that verse alone. Let your conversation be as it becometh, the next verse said, let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Amen. Our church needs some help in that area. I promise you that. Amen. Every church I've ever seen that was effective for God, there was an enormous amount of love in it. One that stands out to me, I think, probably as much as anyone I know is Brother Steve Aldridge's church. It's not that big of a church, about like us maybe, similar. But I'm telling you, there's a river of love running through that church. I come back from preaching that meeting down there, and I told my wife, I said, that crowd loves each other. Amen. Different personalities, different likes and dislikes. We've all got that. I'm sure there's probably maybe at least a small thing in my life that gets on your nerves. And I promise you I can reverse that. Except I probably wouldn't use a small thing. Amen. And it's not that I compromise. It's not that I'm condoning. Amen. It's not that at all. Love covers a multitude of sins. Is that not what the scripture says? Slander. Wrong use of the tongue. God give us a tongue. Don't stick it out. I started to ask everybody to stick theirs out, but I don't want that mental image in my mind. I have too much facial countenance things that I have to deal with Sunday night after church and Wednesday night after church and Sunday morning after church that I have to deal with. You know, that mental image. I think I'm going to start preaching with my eyes closed. No, I'm not going to do that. I don't like a preacher preaching to me like that. I want to preach. I want to be looking at you. I want you to know I'm getting you and you know it and I know it. Amen. Say amen right there. A lack of communication. Amen. A doer of the word would imply and also include that we... He didn't say don't speak. He just said be slow to speak. What we should speak, if we're looking at verse 26, should be used as a proper use of the tongue. I've been saved 36 and a half years. I've seen all kinds of mess go on in church. The revival I got saved in, I don't know how in the world God ever sent a revival through that church. I mean, there was hatred and fighting, literally. There was all, I mean, listen, it was, I could not verbalize how bad it was. And most of them was my relatives. I'm talking about standing up in church, calling each other names, shaking their fists, standing up railing at the preacher. Amen. I mean, it was awful. I don't know how God ever sent nothing through there. And I was the first one to get saved in that mess. Fighting, fussing, screaming, hollering, carrying on. I was visiting a man here in town the other day, and he was talking about he visited a church, and I'm not going to say where, almost pointed toward the direction. Somewhere in this vicinity. And he said, "Preacher, you ain't going to believe it." He said, "Two men got in a fist fight in the house of God." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, it was over money." I said, "Imagine that." God ain't in that. God ain't in that. Amen. You may not like everything about me, and I know I don't like everything about you. But if you're saved, I'm going to fix and break out some big news on you. You're going to heaven with me, Jack. Amen. And you better just go ahead and get used to me. Hey, you know what the Lord might just do? Thank you, Jesus. You know what the Lord might just do? That person that's saved, that gets on your last nerve, their mansion may be next door to yours. What about that, Brother Jeff? How'd you like that? Hey, man, I start to say come out every morning, but it's always going to be day there, no night, and won't need a nap. Go up your porch. I don't know. I really don't even know. Why we need a mansion? We're not going to need to sleep. We're not going to need rest. You ever wonder? I never have wondered about that till just now. Wouldn't it be something you walk up your sidewalk, if you got the sidewalk, and you walk up your sidewalk and sitting on the porch next door, when you was on earth, was that person that you would have liked to took their head and just pinched it off? Whew. Son, y'all got something from church tonight, didn't you? Amen. Verse 26 in this chapter, and it's in the context. I don't know exactly other than how I'm preaching it, how it fits in with this, the context. Lack of communication. Verse 27, I'm about done, believe it or not. Verse 27, lack of consideration. Poor religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless widows in their affliction. In other words, a lack of consideration. A lot of people are not doers of the word because doing the word is relational, meaning I must have a consideration of some other people in their affliction. That's in the context, is it not? Amen. Visit those that are having some bad deal in their life. Widows. Afflictions, amen, orphans, things like that, people that's hurting. Being a doer of the word will include other people, will target other people to be a blessing to other people. Amen. I guess probably the flip side of that one is selfishness. The reason we're not considerate of others in their affliction and helping others, encouraging others, and I could improve in that, every one of us can improve in that, is that maybe we're so consumed with our little lives, that's in verse 1 through 16 of our trials and hardships and adversities, that we forget about those around us that are really going struggling. God help us. Lack of consideration. And last but certainly not least, lack of separation. Look at verse 27, how it ends. And keep himself unspotted from the world. Wow. Being a doer of the word will allow you, allow you, lead you, instruct you to have a proper relationship to the world. Now listen to me. I'm studying on some other things. I have to be studying on a lot of things all the time, Brother Mark. You understand that. You teachers and preachers in here understand that. It requires a lot. Amen. This crowd requires a lot of preaching and a lot of studying. Isn't that the truth? And I feel that pressure too. Plus, I want to give you something from the Word of God. But the point I'm trying to make, if I can remember what it was. Amen. Hey, Lord, I had a flashback of the Poochie Lip right for a second. Say amen right there. But it'll help you to have a proper relationship to the world. Here's where I was going to go with that. Y'all pray for me. I tell you, I have to really focus. Our proper relationship to the world is not isolation. You'll never win anybody the Lord until your light shines into their darkness. You'll never win anybody the Lord till your life touches them. Keep yourself unspotted from the world means I'm not letting the world defile me. I'm not going to let the world put the spots on me. And I don't know this, Brother Mark. You may have studied that. I told you I wrote this down, most of it, while the choir was singing. The Lord was just boom, 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 giving it to me. I mean, I was studying. I was going to lay it out. I had it laid out another way, but God said, this way I want you. I said, yes, sir, God, you did. But those spots there might have some connection to leprosy. I don't know. You know, keep yourself unspotted from the world. We definitely could probably see the word would indicate defilement. Keep yourself undefiled from the world. Don't let the world put the blemishes on your life. And do y'all see that relation, not that relational, that direction of that? Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Don't let the world defile me. It didn't say a thing about me influencing the world. Me influencing them. Amen. And let me say this before I close tonight. You are to be trying to get your spiritual life to a level to where you can deal with sinners without you being tempted to drink a beer and smoke a joint every time you're around one of them. You ought to be able to be around a lost person and be able to retain your integrity, retain your testimony, keep your spiritual life intact. Amen. You ought to not be so flimsy and weak that every time you get around a lost person, they're pulling you down. You influence them, don't let them influence you. That's good right there now, I'm telling you. Lack of separation. A lot of people don't do the word. They're not a doer of the word. They're not a doer of the word because it involves sanctification and separation and a proper relationship to the world. In other words, can I say it like this? When there's worldliness and carnality that is visible, I promise you, you are in a wrong relationship to this world. Because carnality is the fingerprints of the world on your life. Amen. I'm telling you, that's good preaching right there. That's good truth right there. Amen. That's right. Separation, though, it's a thing of the past in most churches. I don't understand that myself. I just didn't get in that kind of, Brother Aaron, I just didn't get in that. When I got saved, I got in, but if God wanted me to be separate from the world. Amen. And I've been trying to practice that ever since I got saved. That's right. But I'm seeing church folk, not just here, but everywhere I go, I'm seeing church folk make light of separation from the world. I'm seeing people everywhere I go. Listen, I'm talking about a plague. I'm talking about an epidemic of worldliness that is infiltrating and flooding our independent Baptist churches. Used to, if you told somebody you was an Independent Baptist, that told everything about you. It told you you was a King James believer. It told you what Bible you used. It told everything about your church, your preacher, your doctrine, your practice, in your life, your dress code, everything. But now you tell somebody you're an Independent Baptist, that don't mean nothing. That don't mean squat. Whatever squat is. That's probably in there somewhere close to the poochie lip, I guess. Amen. God help us. Amen. And I'm going to preach against it here. I promise you that. I'm not going to hammer it every time I get up, but I am going to preach it as the Lord leads my heart. Amen. When those young people that are going to be sent to our youth camp, they're going to be sent with confidence by parents and preacher to our youth camp that we are not going to influence them in the wrong direction. Are y'all listening? We making sure that when they come, that they know how they're supposed to dress during our camp. They know that. Why? Because I don't want them influencing our young people. But I don't want our young people, I don't want our workers, I don't want myself, any of us, being a bad influence to any of those kids that come in that camp. Y'all listening? And I'm not being a smart aleck. It's just on my heart to say it. If you're interested in worldliness, you're in the wrong church. That ain't smart aleck. That's just a bold statement right there. We're not trying to have the biggest church in town. Listen, we're just not going to throw the standards out the door for a crowd's sake. I talked to a man today. He told me about his church, his pastor. He said, when he first came, he said, preacher, he's preaching, nailing it tight. But he said he got his mind on a crowd. And now he's letting anything, and he just told me that today. He said, he's letting anything and everything go. I said, boy, that's bad. That is pathetic. And you know what that did? That didn't discourage me. But I tell you what it did. It caused my backbone to stand up just a little taller to where I said, you know what? I am not going that direction. Amen. Brother Chuck, can you imagine me standing for 36 years and then now think about compromising? I'm too close to the finish line to be fooling with that. Amen. Amen. So you take that every how you want to. I said it in the right spirit. If you want worldliness and you're wanting carnality and you're wanting to dress like heathens, amen, you're in the wrong church. Amen. You wouldn't want me doing it. Come on now. I want to hear an amen right there. Would you want a preacher that went around worldly and you know, preached with my shirt unbuttoned and all kinds of mess like that? Would you want that? Of course not. You want me to maintain a level of purity, a level of holiness? You want me to do that? I expect that out of you as well, amen. Hallelujah.